This is Rumble Strip, good conversation that takes its time. Today's story is from What Class Are You?, which is a periodic series that I make with Vermont Public. The latest round of shows aired last week, and the final episode of this round will air tomorrow here on Morning Edition and All Things Considered. I started making this show back in 2022. I wanted to talk with people about growing political and cultural divides without ever talking about politics or cultural divides, at which I had no idea how to do that. Then one day I asked my editor, Mark Davis, if I could just drive around and ask people what class they were. And he said, sure, so I did. And what I found was that as dumb and even offensive as this question is, people have a lot of really interesting things to say about it. I mean, socioeconomic reality is the one thing we all share. Some of us have a lot, some of us have a little, and most of us fall somewhere in between, but it is one big common denominator. So today I am playing an episode from this week's series. It's a conversation with Kay Phipps, who lives in Montpelier. Right now she works as a custodian at a grocery store. She has also been a florist, a housekeeper, and a house cleaner. And even though she is sometimes working multiple jobs, she often comes up short. In this episode, Kay talks about how having limited income can make her feel like a child long into adulthood. Here's Kay.
My grandparents, on my father's side, for my birthday every year, I'm pretty sure since I was born, I would unwrap all the presents, and then when I got to their presents, it would be this weird little certificate from the government. I think a bond? Is that what it's called? A government bond? And so I'd get these when I was like unwrapping Lego sets and stuff. I'd open up this thing and it would say $50, and it'd have like a picture of Abraham Lincoln's treasury secretary or something on it. And I had no idea what it was, but all the adults in the room would go, oh, you know, like, oh, this is the big gift, you know? And the way they would explain it to me is like, oh, it's like having $50, which is so much money when you're a kid. And I'm like, okay. So like, it's like, well, where can I spend it? And they're like, you can't. And they say, you can't spend it now. You have to wait till you grow up because it's not worth anything right now. It'll be worth something in, I don't know.
100 years.
My grandparents were very financially responsible. And it seemed like every decision they made in life was to invest in something today so that when you grow up, you can coast. Like my grandmother would, like if we had really nice paper plates, like Dixie paper plates that had that kind of wax covering on it, she would wash them by hand to save them because it was all about saving pennies and nickels that you could spend when you retire. You know, you invest in good grades now, so you can withdraw when it comes time to go to college. But college is an investment that you withdraw when you go into a career. And then a career is an investment that you withdraw when you retire. Just everything gets funneled into, like, when you get to be this old person, that's when you finally get to live, you know? And
so there was like a financial philosophy there, but was it also about being good or something? Was there a mm-hmm. character element to it?
It's financial responsibility, and responsibility is a moral word, you know? These are the financially responsible things to do. Therefore, if you don't do them, you're being irresponsible. And what is irresponsibility but another word for acting immature? And so for the past 10 years or so, I've been quilting together different contractor jobs and different gigs to make money. I think I maxed out at about 3 jobs, no days off. It was hard, and still, like, I don't, any money I made, I don't know where it went to. I think growing up, if someone worked hard and didn't have money, the implication was, well, it's because they're spending it on alcohol, or they're spending it on drugs, or they're spending it on video games, and you know, because where else could that money go? But I don't drink, I don't do drugs, I don't gamble. So then I start asking myself, what is my addiction then that I'm that's taking all this money? Because it's got to be there. And then I say, like, I really do like these lattes, you know? So now every time I get a latte, I'm full of the same shame I would have as if I were a drunk. And I... Or a drug addict, or... Or, like, when I go to the movies, like, that's, like, my big splurge, I think, is when I treat myself to a movie night. I'll get that $10 ticket, and I'll get a little York Mint, and, you know, then afterwards I'll feel a lot of shame and guilt, and it'll be like, oh, see, this is why I don't have any money, because I'm spending it on childish things like this, on these little things, because I have no self-restraint, I have no discipline, I have no financial responsibility. And one of the reasons I have so much shame around having such a small bank account is that I don't think it was ever said this, but it was heavily implied, and I could see it. I saw the evidence of it, is that money is how you take care of people. Money is how you take care of your family. Your parents make money and work hard so they can give you and your siblings and your generation a better life. And then you take that torch and you continue to grow the financial flame. That way, when they get old and can't take care of them, that way you've now got enough money to take care of them, but also you need to have accumulated enough to take care of kids that you might have. And then you can pass the torch on to them, and then they can take care of you. And it just continues this circle of life. But I can't take care of my mom. And I'm never going to be able to take care of my mom. And I don't know what she's going to do when she gets old, because she's taking care of her mom with all the money that she accumulated over life. And I feel a lot of shame about not being able to take care of my mom. And I don't know what she's going to do when she gets old. And also, I don't know what I know what I'm going to do when I get old. My car overheated this week, and I don't know if it's safe to drive. And I liked having a car. I love giving rides to people. I love being able to tell someone, hey, if you need a ride, just let me know. And sometimes they say yes, and I feel like such a grown-up when I get to drop them off somewhere. But once this car goes, which will probably be this winter, I don't think I can afford another car. And what does that mean? That means I'm stuck in someone else's passenger seat. That means I'm the one who has to get dropped off at work and dropped off at school. And whenever I'm in that passenger seat, I just feel like I've got a backpack on, and I'm just, thanks for packing my lunch. So I feel a lot of shame about not being able to help people because I don't have enough money.
Who are the grown-ups and who are the kids? It's not written down anywhere, but we feel it.
One of the gigs I took was housekeeping around a ski resort in Vermont, bed and breakfasts. And there was this one bed and breakfast that hired me a lot, and I was always there cleaning and sweeping, and, you know, they're checking in guests, and I'm just kind of cleaning around them. The guests are there because they're on vacation to ski. And they're, you know, some of them are married. Some of them have kids. They all show up in big cars. And then, you know, I'm eavesdropping as I'm cleaning, and the owners and the guests, they, part of the experience is that they all mingle in the living room with some coffee and talk about the viscosity of the snow or whatever. And like, they were talking, and then they were talking about their ages, and I realized they were all younger than me. But up until then, I had just naturally assumed they were older than me. I had just naturally assumed they were adults because they've got families, they've got cars, they've got vacations, they can relax in their comfy sweaters. And when I realized that they were younger, I felt even more like a child. And I also noticed that they tended to treat me more like a child. Oh. Just, you know, that classic way that you, maybe people with money will treat the help.
What about a circumstance where you're not working? You're in a room full of, in a circumstance with the doctors and lawyers. Does that still feel like you're at the kids' table, you know?
I remember I went to a party once, and most of the people there were engineers. I don't know how I got involved, but they were all engineers, and they're talking and they're mingling. And one of the reasons I hate going to parties is because it just takes like, it's like, hey, what's your name? Oh, hey, how do you know the host? So what do you do for work? It's always like right there at the very beginning. It is the identity that you wear on your forehead. And I remember this person went, when I told them what I did, she went, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. And it's like, well, I never said there was. Like I'm not ashamed of being a custodian. I think it is extremely valuable and I really enjoy it. But like, if I were an engineer, they want to go, oh, there's nothing wrong with that. I just really want you to know that what you're doing is appreciated and, you know, keep up the good work. But let's say I hadn't met any of those people. And we all show up into a white room wearing white clothes and we don't know anything about each other.
In other words, you joined a cult. Everything's equal in a cult. Okay, just keep going. Sorry.
It's okay. No, it's okay. No, because then I was... Yeah, so we're all in this room. None of us know each other. We're all the same age. But some of us make 6 figures a year. Some of us overdraft every 3 weeks. But we don't know that. And we're not allowed to talk about that. I would feel like the adult in the room. I've never known what class I'm in. I don't even know how to answer that. I think I grew up whatever's just right above the trailer park, whatever class that is. But then my family, you know, since they worked hard, they were able to jump up a lot of classes pretty quickly. But where I'm at now, I feel like I'm lower than any point my family was during my life. So it's a wide gamut of class I've been in. But no matter where I was on that spectrum, it all kind of felt the same. We're just, you know, I can look in one direction and I can see people who are doing a lot better than me, and I can look in another direction and see people who are doing a lot worse. I just get this sense that there's really two classes. That it's like a mountain, that you're either on the side that your losses just turn into more losses no matter how much you try, and the harder you try, the bigger the hole gets. Or you're on the side of the mountain where the things you have tend to multiply and multiply and multiply and multiply. And it seems like, you know, growing up, it's this race to, you just got to get over that peak. So you just got to shrink the hole down enough that it starts to grow and then it'll take over. I am definitely in the class where debt turns into more debt, loss turns into more loss. Nothing accumulates. I think the reason that when I'm in a room full of people and I don't know how much money they make, as long as I don't know how much money they make, I can feel more mature than they are. I can feel older. Is because I know I have, since I've been accumulating so much loss, that I've also been accumulating ways to survive loss. I guess when they're in that room and they're equal, just that very fact means that they've lost something walking into that room. And I don't think they know how to handle that as well as I do. And I don't know, I'm looking at the world right now and it looks like that peak that divides the people whose losses turn into more losses and gains turn into more gains, like that peak is getting more and more narrow, and there's more and more people falling onto my side of the mountain. And I think I feel like an adult when I'm like, yeah, let me show you how to get through this. Let me show you how to do it. I know this is new to you, but I've been here a while. You're gonna be okay.
That was Kay Phipps. And this was part of a series called What Class Are You? which I make with Vermont Public. You can catch the final episode of this round tomorrow on Morning Edition and All Things Considered. And if you want to hear all the class shows we have made so far, you can find them all on vermontpublic.org. If you have any thoughts about the series, I would love to hear all of them. You can email me at rumblestripvermont@gmail.com. Rumblestrip is an independent podcast distributed on the radio by Vermont Public. This is Rumblestrip. I'm Erica Heilman. Thanks a lot for listening.